Scripture reading this morning, as you can see, is from Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the King James Version. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
This month we have spoken of God's mighty voice from Psalm 29. We have noticed how God spoke through Moses, but sadly that was partially because the people didn't want to hear from God directly. Last week we noticed from 1 Samuel chapter 3, the young boy's encounter with God, in which he was coached by Eli to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant listens." I want to start with a question today that I originally found in the writings of a guy named Daniel Naieri. He was from the Middle East, and when his father came to Christ, they were persecuted and they had to move out of the country. But he wrote a book, and he asked this question: would you rather have a God who listens or a God who speaks? The book, by the way, is Everything Sad is Untrue, which I just was captivated by that title a few years ago. Would you rather have a God who listens or a God who speaks? Now, think carefully. People all over the world want a God who only listens. And they use prayer as a form of self-expression. And at worst, people who only want a God who listens are self-centered. Let me tell you, God, the way I want this to go. They want to live in the land of do as I please. They only want a God who listens. But as I said, think carefully, because folks who only want a God who speaks are usually looking for his crushing justice. They want law. They want order. In case it isn't obvious, God is both. Our God, the God we trust, the God we believe in, is a God who listens and a God who speaks. We don't choose between the two. We accept both because the Scripture declares that both are necessary and wholly true. Most assuredly, our loving Father listens, and next month we will go on to talk about talking to Him. We will talk about prayer on Sunday mornings next month. But as we have noticed this month, he also speaks. And he speaks in all the best ways and at all the best times. Which brings us then quickly to our scripture reading. God in the past spoke to our ancestors. He did so at different times and in various ways through the prophets. By the way, Moses is also counted as a prophet in Scripture. Every book that you have in writing, even though it may not be referred to as a book of prophecy, was written by a prophet, as far as God is concerned. So clearly this involves the written word. But we have many powerful prophets who never wrote a word down on paper and yet are quoted most frequently, because they spoke from God. And so, whether Scripture, as it is true, is carried along by the Holy Spirit, that is, God writes Scripture, so the ancient prophets spoke as God directed them. Our God has always been a talker. The problem isn't whether or not God has told us what to do. The problem is whether or not we choose to listen. History is not littered with good listeners. Even the history of God's people, will say more about that tonight. But whether it's then or now, people who claim to follow God are frequently displaying the fact that they don't listen when He speaks. I was very little when this happened. Some of you will remember this better. But in Christmas of 1968, three men were on Apollo 8, and they were coming from behind the dark side of the moon. And there was a lot of forethought as to what they should say when they rounded the dark side of the moon in the first orbit of another planet and saw the Earth once again for the first time having circled the moon. Anybody remember what they did, what they said? They read from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. In the beginning, God. Now, on the surface, we can be quite proud of that moment, and there is a good thing about that. But they were using Scripture. They weren't necessarily listening to Scripture. We should want people to know and read Scripture. But knowing it and reading it is a far cry from hearing it. Might also point out that the world wants to use God's word sparingly when it buttresses their point. They'll use it piecemeal. But as we've already said, using God's word is not necessarily listening to it. I'm going to say what I'm about to say in somewhat loose terms, but think carefully about it. The world hears from Christianity much of what is no different from its own voice. And many folks claim to preach the whole counsel of God, but instead drone out their own ideas. Well, I think is too commonly heard from those who appeal to God's word. And so, since the vast majority of the world only gets to feast on uninspired babble, they live uninspired lives. Nothing has come into their life any different from what they came into the building with before they got here. And so, no one is being challenged by the Word of God. And so, no one can listen to it. This was true during the prophets. God told them plainly, but there were many voices out there, voices who said something totally different from what God wanted said. We now refer to them as false prophets. The Scripture does as well, so the term is fine with me. But the reason you get to be a false prophet is because you're droning out your own ideas instead of what God wants you to say. But there is a voice we must not ignore. On any given Sunday, you can come in here and you can decide, I don't agree with Phil. That's fine with me. My own wife does that to me occasionally. Can you figure that out? I haven't been able to figure it out. Once in a while, she'll just say, I don't think that's right, honey. I will admit she's correct in that assessment more often than I would like to admit at the moment. So you can come in here and say, I disagree with Phil, and that's no skin off of anybody's neck. But if you come in here and say, I disagree with God, now we've got a problem. Here's the thing. Nobody ever knows they're doing that. Conscientiously, most people do not shake their fist and defy God and say, I'm just not going to listen to you. That's not the way most people live. You can see lots of people that live that way, but the vast majority of people want God to speak and they want to listen. And yet, at the end of the day, they live uninspired lives because they choose not to listen. And the scriptures prove that beyond any shadow of a doubt. But there is a voice we must not ignore. He spoke long ago. And none of our arguments can make him shut up. In our day, it is our duty to listen closely to what God is telling us and to be able to do so in such a way that we encourage others to also listen. But now, in these last times, God sent his Son to bring his message to us. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Paul said it this way in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Jesus was fond of telling stories. Excuse me, some folks don't like that word. Parables. Okay. And so he told one about a vineyard owner. He built the vineyard, he planted the vineyard, he sustained the vineyard, he hired servants to work the vineyard, and then he said to them, yeah, I got to go somewhere else. Take care of this for me. So he left. And since it was his property, he would send back folks to collect rent and profit and make sure that things were being done according to his will. But those who worked the vineyard, they didn't like these fellers. They derided them, they beat some of them, they stoned others and killed them. And so finally the vineyard owner said, I know what I'll do. I'll send my son. Surely they will listen to my son. So the son arrives. And what did those vineyard workers do to him? Aha. This is the heir. If we kill him, everything will now belong to us. And so they did kill him. Jesus ends this parable by saying, what will the master do when he comes back to these servants? And those listening knew the point of the story. They said, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end. He's going to give them back what they deserve for not listening to him. Now, I'll freely admit, when most people get to Hebrews, I about fell over, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, they think of either the cradle or the cross. We think about God sending his son, and we are right to think about the cross. And as Terry read this morning, we are right to think about the cradle, because he had to get here, and he had to leave here. But I don't think that's what Hebrews 1:2 is picturing. Hebrews 1:2 is talking about everything Jesus said to us while he was here. Not what was written about him. What he actually said and did. We can know this because that's where the writer of the book of Hebrews is about to take the argument, what Jesus did while he was here. And so when we see the phrase that God sent his son and sent his message through his son, we should pay close attention that God came here to actually speak to us in words that we could audibly hear. God spoke through the events of Jesus' life, to be sure. But he spoke through his mouth. And we should in no way ignore what Jesus actually says. In fact, the writer presses this point, we shouldn't ignore what Jesus says in the last part of verse 2, because this Son was appointed the heir of all things. And through this Son, God created the world. And the Son is the radiance of the glory of the Father. He is the exact representation, imprint, icon of his nature. The Son upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after having made purification for sins, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the majesty on high. Recently, a preacher I had a lot of respect for passed away from cancer. His name is Tim Keller. And one of the times I heard him actually speak live, he retold a story. I believe it's in one of his books, but I actually heard him tell the story live. He was a little boy, 10-ish or 11-ish, and he was in Bible class. And the teacher of the Bible class held up one sheet of paper and said the thickness of that sheet of paper represents the distance between the earth and the sun. Anybody want to take a wild guess as to how much distance is between the earth and the sun? You heard the story, right? 92 million miles! So the thickness of this represents 92 million miles. Got it. At this point, Keller says, I was underimpressed. I was like, okay, whatever, fine. I didn't come here for a science lesson. Got it. But if that sheet of paper represents 92 million miles, then the distance between the Earth and the next nearest star would be a stack of papers 70 feet high. That's over two times the height of the top of the ceiling in here. It's about two times the height of the outside, the roof. This is just the distance between our planet and our sun, twice this room is the distance, a stack of papers that high, between our solar system and the next closest sun. Now he's beginning to take a little note of that. That's kind of interesting, he thought. But again, it's just factual data. No real power to that, right? Then she pressed her point home. I would need a stack of papers 310 miles high to represent the distance across just the Milky Way galaxy. 310 miles stacked high of paper. If this is the distance, 92 million miles, I would need 310 miles of those stacks of one sheets of paper to measure across the Milky Way, just our galaxy. And in comparison to the universe, our galaxy is nothing but a speck of dust. So at this point, again, Keller is thinking, That's all fine, well, and good. But then she read these verses from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And she said this: Jesus holds the universe together by the word of his power. Is that the kind of person you are willing to make merely your assistant? And he said that one encounter changed the trajectory of his whole life. Because clearly you cannot reduce Jesus or the word of his power, his message, to a box that suits you. You cannot reduce his message to something that you can simply just own and make sense of. It's not that kind of thing. He does not work for you. He is not our bellboy or our boyfriend or girlfriend, as the case may be. He is Master, King of all creation. And that is who the Father sent to speak to us in these last days. And so, when we sing, God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. That's a powerful song, but you should realize who's being sung about. And you should listen to him. And if you do that, you will in no way be repeating uninspired babble and living uninspired lives. So jump down to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. And Barb, we're going to bring this thing in for a landing. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, I found out that they were still a Blockbuster. Anybody remember Blockbuster Video? Okay, there's one left in America. Still open this morning in Bend, Oregon. I was flabbergasted. I thought, that's got to be a real big attraction. I bet people travel to Bend, Oregon just to see the last Blockbuster. Nostalgia being what it is and all. I thought, I'll be easily able to research how many people go to this Blockbuster and what a tourist. So I get up, I start looking, I can't find anything on it. But I keep saying something about Bob in Bend, Oregon. Everybody goes to see Bob in Bend, Oregon. Nobody gives a whistle about this Blockbuster, but they go to see Bob. I am totally caught up now. I got to solve this mystery. So I want to know who Bob is. Turns out Bob is an acronym that stands for Big Obvious Boulder. Yeah, I was let down too. I thought, well, and evidently this thing is a car magnet. It sits on a little median going into a parking lot. And people coming in and out of that parking lot hit this 3-foot by 3-foot boulder. It's a little bit cone-shaped, but it's 3 foot tall and 3 foot wide and 3 foot, you know, the other direction, deep. And it's just, cars hit it all the time. They put warning stickers up. They put signs on the boulder. People still run into it. They run over the signs to hit the boulder. Not on purpose, I'm assuming. Bob is so famous, he's got his own Facebook site. And Bob is what everybody travels to Bend, Oregon to see. Now, at first thought, you might think that's sad. And it kind of is. But let me challenge you a little bit. You have come this morning to see a stumbling block. And a lot of people run into this stumbling block and get hurt. and very few people choose to listen to him. Remember when you were first a Christian? That new, vibrant, exciting life you had with Jesus? Our faith and our devotion, our ability to hear God's word and immediately put it into practice were abundant. And then time settled in. And we got in the routine. And we listened, but it's been tough to sustain that devotion over time. Sometimes we see the same thing in friendships or marriages. It happens. Because with time, our tendency is to drift away. And we concentrate on all the ways that we are listening. Look, we're doing this and this and this and that and the other. And we're living uninspired lives. We've settled into a routine. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. And paying much closer attention is something we have to have, not only the determination, but more importantly, the courage to do. Because Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. He holds them together by the word of his mighty power. And though being dead, he still speaks. Because he did die. But God raised him to new life. And the blood of that life is calling out to us this morning and saying, follow me. And you can only do that if you're willing to keep your faith living and active and listen to the almighty voice of the almighty Son of God. Soul, are you drifting along on the tide, out on life's ocean so boundless and wide? God is talking. The Father is talking to you, the Son is talking to you, and the Spirit is talking to you. And it's just a matter of whether or not you are going to listen. Yes, preacher, but that's not what I want to do. Aha! We have now discovered the source of our dilemma, haven't we? Are you willing to listen to a God who still speaks? If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.